Thank you. And obviously, I'm not Richard. Some of you were expecting Richard. Unfortunately, he was called out of town to be with his father, who was dying. And he seemed so relieved when I said I was available today. I was very glad I could do it for him. It was one less thing he had to worry about as he's preparing to leave town for an indefinite amount of time. So you might have guessed from my instructions during the sitting that I wanted to talk about silence today. Noble silence or sacred silence. And I suggested a focus on silence because so often we don't focus on it. We don't think about it. We take the silence for granted, sort of like we take the space in a room for granted. And we walk in and we tend to see the objects that are in the room, not the space that holds the objects. So too with silence. We tend to pay attention to what interrupts the silence, the sounds, the noise, the sensations or whatever thoughts that punctuate the silence. But we don't so often pay attention to the silence, which is the background, the backdrop, the container for everything that arises out of the silence. So I wanted us to spend some time this morning thinking about it, talking about it, paying attention to the silence. There are several synonyms that are used for this noble silence. It is often referred to as stillness, sometimes as inner peace, or calm, or wisdom, or ultimately the unconditioned, the deathless. And as I speak, I'll be talking about, I'll be sort of going back and forth between the external silence and the internal silence. As I said, it is a shift of awareness. For me, it's kind of like the figure ground pictures that you see in psychology books or elsewhere. And it can take a moment sometimes to just make that shift from what we normally focus on to sort of I move my hand back because it is sort of a moving back to take in the broader expanse, the silence. It focusing on the silence can really punctuate the sound that arises out of the silence. And other things. Everything arises out of the silence. It's the fountain of all. This morning as I was driving up here, I had my radio on. You know, probably like most of you, it's just kind of on. And after a few moments, I realized not only was I not paying attention, but I was totally not interested in what was being said. So I turned it off. As soon as I did, I was aware of my surroundings. Coming up 280, I was aware of the greenery and then aware of how much it had changed since last week when I drove up here. I was aware of the rush of air and the sound of the air blowing across the roof of my car with the sunroof open. I was aware of how warm I was at 8 o'clock in the morning. And it was really interesting how all of that was there, of course, the whole time. But it wasn't in my awareness until I turned off the noise. I turned off what I had been sort of paying attention to. Actually, I wasn't even paying that much attention to it. It's a very different experience, I find, when we focus on the silence rather than the sound coming out of the silence. We can focus on the space between words. Or as someone said recently, the melody of music is created by the space between the notes. I was struck by that. I hadn't thought of that before. But it's not the notes per se, but the space between that creates the melody. A friend said, pay attention to the silence. It has a voice of its own. And I was reminded, thinking about this, of the Simon and Garfunkel song, The Sounds of Silence. So, of course, silence is relative. We never get complete silence. There's always, even on the stillest retreat, there are sounds. There's the sound of the universe, the sound of life. When things are very, very quiet, you can hear sort of a hum, the hum of life, or just your own heartbeat, or the sound of the breath going in and out of the body. So there probably is no such thing as complete silence, but we get a relative silence. And silence has become something that's very precious to me, very dear. Sometimes I refer to it as addictive. Not a very good Buddhist term, right? But it means that I just really enjoy the silence. It has become so much more enjoyable to me than the noise I was accustomed to. It can have sort of a downside. I became so attached, I guess, to silence, a quiet life, a simple life. A few years ago, I took my granddaughter, a teenager, to the movies, to the Century over here, actually, in Redwood City. And I hadn't been to a big theater for quite a long time. And we walked in, and I was assaulted by the noise, all the sensory stimulation, but particularly the noise, all the video games, etc. I was just taken aback. And then we went into the theater, and then there was all the, we used to call them previews, I guess they're called trailers now. And I swear they turn up volume for them, right? It was just so assaulting. That night when I took her home, for the only time ever that I've taken her home, I didn't walk her up to the door. I didn't go in and say goodbye. I just dropped her off. I was so tired. I was so exhausted that all I wanted to do was go home. So, you know, that might be good just to keep in mind that when we sort of cushion ourselves in a world of silence or simplicity, then the outside world can be very assaultive. Then there's the silence, the inner silence, the stillness within, the inner peace and calm. And I wonder what it's like for you. What was your experience? Would someone be willing to share? What was your experience during the meditation of focusing on the silence?
I felt like I was in a sea of silence and that the other things were overlays, the noises that I heard came in on the silence, but that I could kind of swim under that and hold on to it, that it was always there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Anybody else? Was it different? Was it different to focus on the silence?
It's hard to focus on it without getting attached to
it. Right. Yeah.
When I came in and sat down, I really noticed the space and light in the room. And the silence felt like the space in the room.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is a good room for that, isn't it? Yeah.
It's
right.
I found that there are different levels for me of silence. I can achieve fairly often what I think of as silence. And then there are other times where the silence is so deep It's just frightening.
Frightening.
That doesn't happen that often, but it startles me, and I sort of sit up and really take notice of it. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what's frightening?
I think it's just because I'm not used to that, that death.
Mm-hmm. I struggled with that instruction, and one thing I didn't observe was how little silence there was. I was so conscious of the floor, and I didn't find a lot of silence, and I ultimately got frustrated and went back to my breath, because it's like, I can't find it.
You can sort of experiment with it and see.
I've had the same experience where I tried to tune it out, and it's like I'm noticing it, and then it wasn't working, so I just felt frustrated, and then all of a sudden I kind of felt it rise up within me, and it was just there, and I didn't even have to try to get it.
You were trying to tune out the sounds,
yeah,
the noise?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Tuning out sounds mm-hmm. to get silence. Mm-hmm.
Right,
and
right.
Trying to mute everything, but then just kind of give up.
Right, and then your experience was that shift of awareness.
Yeah, it was like really deep within me. Instead of being in the world, it was kind of inside me.
Right. So there is that stillness within, and there is in meditation the stilling of the mind. That stillness, I find, can create a sense of trust, sort of a deep sense of well-being, of knowing that all is well. In contrast to the tension, the anxiety, the turmoil, the agitation that we so often experience. And it's possible, I have found, in fact I have had to find, that it's possible to experience the silence within the chaos. You know, often we can't have silence, either outside or within. And so we have to find the silence within that. When I first started sitting many years ago, I sat at Conando in Mountain View. And it's like this in a neighborhood, sometimes a very noisy neighborhood. And I learned right from the very beginning to create that silence with much chaos in the outside world. Also, though, I had wonderful experiences there. On Saturday morning, our first sitting was at 5:30, and the world is very quiet at 5:30. So it would be wonderful to sit there in the silence, and then somewhere, maybe 15 minutes later or so, all of a sudden, there would be this bird chirp. And so noticeable because of the silence. And then another bird would answer, and then another one, and pretty soon there would be this chorus of birds. But I learned to really enjoy that. I would wait in the morning for that first bird chirp. And it was like I heard the world waking up. You know, there would be sound after sound after sound. Often, my mind is not silent. Probably, unfortunately, most of the time. So I have had to learn in meditation to find that stillness without the mind being particularly quiet. But that's wonderful to find, you know, that my stillness, my silence within is not dependent on a quiet mind. The mind might be doing its thing, but there's a deeper, deeper stillness. That's probably the silence you touch that is not related to the mind or the body, or anything else going on. It is just this deep, pervasive silence. deep listening can be a form of silence. The Dalai Lama said, very often, silence is our best answer. Not always, of course, but very often. Maybe we don't deeply listen often enough. Thich Nhat Hanh talks about deep listening, where we listen with more than just our ears and for more than just the words, but we really listen with our whole being. What is being conveyed to us? What is the meaning beyond the words? Then I'd like to say a little bit about what silence is not. Because silence isn't always sacred. It isn't always noble. Sometimes silence can be used. It can be abused. It can be used as punishment. It can be used as withdrawal or avoiding. It can be anger. It can be manipulation or control. Or it can be an avoidance of the truth. Sometimes just being silent is a way of avoiding speaking the truth. And this is not, of course, what's meant by noble silence or sacred silence. Diane Marie Child, who wrote this book that I use a lot, Open Mind, says, stilling habitual thinking is the beginning of spiritual practice. It is a clearing of the mind to release positive energy from the prison of habitual thought. And when I read that, it really struck me. I could see then how clearly how my habitual thought really creates a prison, how it limits me, how much I tend to identify with it, and how tenacious it is, how difficult it is, even with awareness, to let go of that habitual thinking. But it creates that tension, it creates that constriction. It creates the agitation, just the opposite of inner peace or calm. Inner peace is sometimes likened to the ocean. The ocean at its depths is very still, very calm, maybe quiet, I don't know. But on the surface are the waves, are the ripples. It can be actually quite agitated, quite rough, as we all know. But that's only the surface level. And when we go deeper, the ocean is still. It is at peace. Ajahshanti, who is becoming a well-known teacher in this area, a Zen teacher, calls silence the eternal embrace. Kind of what you were saying. And I love that image that we are held, we are embraced by the silence. He says, silence is an endless ocean, the mother of all expressions of spirit, and the key to peace and freedom. The true spiritual heart of all beings dwells in the embrace of silence. To discover this eternal embrace is the fulfillment of all desires. That too struck me, the fulfillment of all desires. A radical statement, huh? We think desires are fulfilled in so many ways, but probably it didn't occur to us that silence could fulfill them. So how do we find this silence, both external and internal? And when I first was thinking about this, I said, how do we create this silence? And then I realized we don't create it, we find it. It is here all the time already, just as some of you discovered. And it's a matter of shifting our focus. So meditation, of course, is one very, very valuable way of tapping into this reservoir of silence. We tap into the deeper inner stillness and perhaps find that still voice within. I think most major religions have some form of practicing quiet, contemplation or meditation or centering prayer, something that essentially calls us to stop and turn within and reflect or listen to that still, calm voice within. Again, Diane Marie Child says, "The state that we arrive at in meditation is very much like that expansive state of creativity, which is, on the one hand, very calm and very quiet, but on the other hand, abundant, a sort of fountain of everything." So it's not a nothingness. It is the potential for everything. It holds everything which arises out of it. On retreats, we can get very, very still. Another way of tapping into that deep inner stillness. And we may find the outer stillness as well. Often retreat settings are such that there is a good deal of quiet, a good deal of stillness. So we're not distracted by so many of the everyday sounds. Then what we find, what I find, are the sounds of life, the sounds of nature. One of the first retreats I did up at Santa Sabina, a lovely retreat center, was very calm and very quiet. And what I heard hour after hour was the creaking of the eucalyptus trees. I didn't know eucalyptus trees creaked, but things were so quiet. That was the sound I heard, and I enjoyed that. I loved that. So other ways we can practice decreasing the amount we talk and listening more. Probably a challenge for most of us, but something to keep in mind. Pay more attention to the other person. Pay more attention to what's being said, and less perhaps to what we want to say in response. How often, as we're listening to somebody, are we actually thinking of what we're going to say next? We catch ourselves. Again, we can just make that shift. When we notice that, let go of it, pay attention to what's being said. It's a kind of silence, a kind of stillness that we can create. And there are simple things like what I did this morning, turning off the radio. Maybe many of you used to constantly have the radio on in the house. It was like music was supposed to be the background of the house, of living, right? Walk in and turn on the radio. But gradually I let go of that, and now I almost never have the radio on. And even though there are sounds around me, of course, there's still that quiet within the house. Turning off the TV. Same thing. Not having to always have a background noise, or letting the background noise be life, not something we impose. So we grow quiet. We do the same as lakes to see the sky. And we can practice silence in the ways I've talked about. You are made whole again in silence. Solitude shatters the illusion that you and I are separate. Did Did anybody have that experience during meditation? Often it takes a longer retreat for that experience to present itself. But we can see in the silence there is no separation. The separation happens in the outward manifestation. In silence, we can touch the unconditioned. Something important to say about silence is it is not passive. Sometimes we may think that silence is passive, but it's not. The secret of the receptive must be sought in stillness. Within stillness, there remains the potential for action. So again, that ground of potentiality, that ground out of which creativity, action can arise. And in my experience, the action that arises out of the stillness, out of the quiet, is of a very different quality, a very different nature. It doesn't have that force. It doesn't have that drive. It doesn't have that edge. It can be a more open, a gentler kind of action, so that it's not that we don't act, but we can respond rather than react. What a gift to our world. There's so much right now reaction, so much conflict. And hopefully as practitioners, we don't want to bring that. That's part of the goal of Buddhist Peace Fellowship, I think, which is in existence to be active, to be socially active, but in a very different way, so that we don't create those adversarial roles, that we don't create more conflict. You probably heard, as I did, of the rallies at UC the other day in Berkeley, where the Israeli students on one side and the Palestinian students on the other side, both yelling at each other. Not the kind of dialogue, the kind of action that we want to promote. But out of the stillness, out of the silence, we can act in a way that does not create that kind of agitation and acrimoniousness. When we are in silence, when we are in stillness, we are much more aligned with the way things are, or the Tao, as some would say. And that, as far as I can tell, creates that sense of trust, that sense of well-being, of knowing that all is well. So I'd like to end with this poem, a very special poem. If anybody was here on New Year's Eve, I read it then. This is written by a young boy that has become very dear to many of us. We first learned about him when he appeared on Oprah Winfrey a few months ago. His name is Matty Stepanek. He's 11 years old. He has a very rare form of muscular dystrophy. He is confined to a wheelchair. He probably will not live long. He knows that. Everybody knows that. We have no idea how long. He's already outlived 3 siblings that have died of the same disorder. And his mother has it. But he speaks with a wisdom way beyond his 11 years. He's really an important spirit. He calls himself a peacemaker, poet, and singer of heart songs. He talks about the heart songs and how important it is for each of us to tap into our own heart song. What comes from inside. So he wrote this on September 12th, and it's entitled For Our World. We need to stop, just stop. Stop for a moment before anybody says or does anything that may hurt anyone else. We need to be silent, just silent. Silent for a moment before we forever lose the blessing of songs that grow in our hearts. We need to notice, just notice. Notice for a moment before a future slips away into ashes and dust of humility. Stop, be silent, and notice. In so many ways, we are the same. Our differences are unique treasures. We are a mosaic of gifts to nurture, to offer, to accept. We need to be, just be for a moment, kind and gentle, innocent and trusting, like children and lambs, never judging or vengeful, like the judging and vengeful. And now let us pray differently, yet together, before there is no earth, no life, no chance for peace. So we have a few minutes. Would somebody like to add something? Comments, questions?
Mm-hmm. You were saying that when we're in silence, we're more aligned with the Tao and where things are. I wonder if that could depend partially, like, on our personalities or our natural inclinations sometimes. Like, for me, like, I grew up in a very violent ghetto outside of Los Angeles, and I'm very, very introverted as a result of that. So my natural inclination is to think the world's crazy and shut up. Really quiet. I feel like my direction of growth is more about learning to give voice to what's within me and stand up for the things that I believe in.
Yes, good point. I would agree. So maybe the silence that I speak about that's in alignment with the Tao is the larger silence. Not just the lack of speaking or the lack of being outward. I too have at times gone inward and avoided the outside world or avoided saying or doing what I needed to say and do. And that's not the same. That's not the same as the deep stillness, the deep silence. Yeah, so thank you for pointing that out.
Could you read that first reading you did from the book or quote? I tried to hold on to the phrase and I lost it. It's about silence. The very first one you referred to, eternal silence.
Oh, from Ajahshanti, The Eternal Embrace?
No. From the
it was from here? Okay.
The,
the state that we arrive at in meditation is very much like that expansive state of creativity, which is, on the one hand, very calm and very quiet, but on the other hand, abundant, a sort of fountain of everything. Was that it? Not exactly? Well, let's see. Stilling the habitual thinking?
Yes.
Is that it? Okay. Stilling habitual thinking is the beginning of spiritual practice. It is a clearing of the mind to release positive energy from the prison of habitual thoughts. That was it. Spoke to you too. Anything else? Then let's enjoy the silence for the last 5 minutes. Would you ring the